We are on page 393, 394. We're going to be ending.
Wait. Remember, we said in the.
Yeah. We're going to be ending chapter one. I made a mistake at the end of the last one, thinking that the bottom of the page was the last, was the end. And then I flipped the page and said, oh, look at that. There's a whole other page. Yeah. So this is a directed letter towards communities at large, 393, 394.
That's much better.
And.
Where's it drawn by?
Yeah. And. He's been talking about the importance of basically, this is a Torah Tefillah and Tzedakah letter, is basically what this is. Many of the letters in Igeres HaKodesh are just fundraising letters, but this one happens to be geared towards all three. At this point, the Alter Rebbe will now converge on the idea of davening and the importance of davening with a minyan.
Woohoo.
Okay. Va'ata hapam, right at the top. Va'ata hapam, and now, once more. Hineni Yosef Shenis Yadi B'Teisvus Bir. I am putting forth my hand again. Meaning I got to write about this again. With extra clarification. U'bekasha kafula shetucha uferusha. And with a double request. Extensively laid out before everybody, with Nekel Anshe Shlomenim, before all of the Anshe Shlomenim usually means Lubavitchers, but it means all of us, Hakrovim v'Rachekim, close and far, L'kayim aleihem shekol yemei yechol lo yari livnei hateva habali oiskim she'en lahem p'nai kol kach, that there should not be those people leading the davening during the weekdays, people who don't have so much time, business people who are in a hurry.
Right.
They should not be leading the davening.
Right.
Because their intention in leading the davening
is to get out.
Is to get out.
Right.
And we know that the idea of davening is to daven.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you have a minion of business people, then I suppose...
You're stuck.
Then you go at the speed of business people. Okay, but that should not be like, every shul should have like a main minyan.
Yeah.
That the main minyan goes at, I mean, he's encouraging that shul should have lots of minyanim.
Yeah, early, you know, the early for the business guys.
The business ones, and then the ones where, you know, it's not so, you know, so Mishkan now has a 9:30 minyan, if you're...
Mishkan does,
Mishkan really. Israel has a 9:30 minyan, and they take their time, they don't go very fast. And Levi Gordon is the one who's leads it, you know. So
really,
yeah. So yeah, it's a
wow.
it's a good deal.
Wow,
you know. And then because you figure if someone's going to be able to start at 9:30, they're not in a hurry to go to work. Because they're not in a hurry to go to work, they've been at work already
for a good hour and a half.
Yeah. So
ours is a 7. The 6 is for the
right. Indeed,
it goes 15 minutes longer, but that's a big deal.
Yeah. Indeed. So,
15 minutes is a huge amount of time.
It certainly is.
when you're trying to have a little kavana.
last year when I was davening for the Amid, so I needed to. I davened for the Amid when I was in New York. So there was one time I needed to catch a plane. Okay, so but I still had to daven. So I still had to lead shachris. So there was a 6:30 minyan, and the guys told me that. You have to, you know, this is a 6:30 minute. We're done by 7 o'clock. Okay, so there is no
from
way
Hodu I, to
from Hodu to
Elena was in half an hour.
7 o'clock. That's what it is. So, I davened as fast as I could. When I got done at 7:10, I turned around, and the people that were there was a totally different minion. It was the 7 o'clock menu waiting for me to get the heck out of there so that they could start.
Wow.
Okay, so, yeah.
Wow.
So those guys meant business. So
they weren't kidding.
They were not kidding. Okay. It shouldn't be that we should, understood, a person's got, has obligations, and you have these things like the square bus from Muncie, that you have people that have to go to work in the city. So what do? Is they have a bus with a minion on it.
Oh, yeah.
The Muncie bus. Yeah, it has a machitza, so there's a lady sitting in the back of the bus, and a man sitting in the front of the bus, and they have a minion, they have a sefer Torah, they have the whole business over there, And it takes an hour and a quarter, whatever it takes to daven. The minyan takes 45 minutes to an hour. And they daven on the way to work. So this way, the davening to work doesn't take, it doesn't take up from the, because otherwise they'd have to daven in 20 minutes before they got on a bus.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, I hear. Wow.
So, and Muncie is just close enough that people can live in Muncie and work in Manhattan. You know, so whatever. It's a great idea. I mean, I personally wouldn't enjoy davening on a moving bus.
No, it's per se. But you know what? I guess after a while you get used to it. You know,
I don't know. I don't know. But then you have this expression.
I know a guy who was on a Muncie bus.
Yeah.
He said he can't daven. He can only daven fast now, and he says he's not the same because he never really had kavanah on the bus because you couldn't focus because you're worried about your balance, you're worried about your...
Right, exactly.
Playing games with you because you know the bus is moving and...
Wow.
They don't stop the bus for Shemona Esrei, so...
Right.
Unless, they time it so that they get it to right as they're getting to the George Washington Bridge or something, They sit in traffic for an hour. Mm-hmm. But then there's this expression over here. The colloquialism which is used in the Gemara, which he uses here, referring to a person who leads the davening, mm-hmm. is Yored Lifnei Hateva, which literally means to descend before the ark. Okay, the ark being not the place where one davens, but the place where the the Teva refers to like a bima, okay. But the verb yored to go mm-hmm. down,
mm-hmm.
okay. So it used to be in biblical times. So the shuls were built like auditorium style.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the Roman style of doing things. So the bima was down.
Yeah, okay.
So you can understand the expression "go down" to lead the davening.
Uh-huh.
You go okay. down. No, I'm not going down. You go down. Okay. That's on a simple level,
mm.
but the purpose of one of the things that happens with davening is kind of like he said this earlier, is a lever for our other avodas. A person has to learn, and the person's learning should be lishma. It should be for the sake of learning for the sake of learning. And how is it that a person can recognize it? So you said already in Tanya, back in the 40s, that a person, in order to feel that the Kedusha of the Torah, so we say that the adage is, first you go to Beis HaKnesses, and then they go to the Beis HaMedrash. First you have to daven, and then you go to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That the learning is augmented by the davening.
Mm-hmm.
That a person okay. now goes down to daven, meaning that they're drawing the divine presence down here by their davening,
mm-hmm.
and an expression of lifting themselves up, which is what davening is about. Davening is about the idea of arousal from below.
Right.
So if you're going to arouse yourself from below, you have to be below. And so the idea of Yorid Minateva is that there's a certain amount of humility, as it says, Ein Mispal Ela Metech Kevid Rosh, which we had that in Geras HaTshuva, that a person should daven out a sense of humility, and hence this expression, Yorid Lifnei HaTeva.
Mm-hmm.
So he says he doesn't want to hear that people don't have time to daven. Just doesn't want to hear it. There's a famous story involving Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. I'm not sure if there was exactly 10 people in the room,
mm-hmm.
but somebody was like running out of davening just like a little bit early. It was like sort of like he'd be missing like the last Kaddish or something like that.
Uh-huh. Mourners don't like that.
And Levi Yitzchak asked him, "Where are you running?"
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Where are you going?" He says, "He has to get to work." He says, "Who says that your parnasa is over there? Maybe Hashem made it that your parnasa is over here, and you're running away from your parnasa."
Uh-huh.
says, you have no idea how it is that your panas is supposed to be made. Mm-hmm. Okay? So a person's parnasa should not be, a person's davening should not be compromised because of their parnasa.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Now, given all that, you know, still the average minyan shacharis in the world starts at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That seems to be like the starting time around the globe. Mm. You know, understood. You know, some earlier, some later, but it seems to be the 7 o'clock is the time. Mm-hmm. Unless you're waking up at 5 o'clock,
right?
So starting at 7 means that the person's starting really very early.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. You know, it says about the in the first bustle of Gani that the Rebbe said. Mm-hmm. So he brings stories about the various Rebbeim and to show the Avos Yisrael that they have. Mm-hmm. So it says about the he says a story about the Rebbe Marash that he himself traveled to Paris. And he did the whole thing over there, and he told the guy that you shouldn't be hanging around bars, the whole business like that. So he says the Mittler Rebbe was for him time, not the Mittler, the Rebbe Marash. Time was very precious, and he died when he was 49. Wow. So time was very precious, and it says that there were even days when he was already done davening by 8 o'clock. Yeah, but when you think about it, a Rebbe, to be done davening by 8 o'clock, so...
Yeah, that's
you know, amazing, Rebbeim are supposed to spend like all day davening, you know,
right,
so...
Right.
No.
Why the look?
Because you could start at 6. Could be 2 hours.
Even still.
Yeah, even still. That's quick. Yeah, that's amazingly quick for a Rebbe.
The Rebbe, I don't think, was ever done davening by 8 o'clock. I'm trying to think.
Saw the movies.
I know by the Birkas HaChama in 1953, when you blessed the sun, so you had to be done blessing the sun by like 8:30. So the Rebbe was done by 8 o'clock davening there.
Wow!
But generally speaking, and the Rebbe was not a schluffer, because we know there's a story that someone went to the Friedrich Rebbe, and he said, "Ask my son-in-law." And he says, "When will I find him in his office?" He said, "You'll go at 4 a.m. Hmm. because he has either not yet gone to sleep or he's just waking up." So the Rebbe was not a schluffer, and the Rebbe would start davening usually 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, but when he would start davening, this we know from Label Groner. Mm. Okay, the Rebbe would come very, very often when I was living in the Mems, when I was living in New York. So the Rebbe would come at 10 o'clock, and Label Groner would bring him cake and coffee, and then the Rebbe would start davening. Mm. You know, up at 10:30 he would start davening. So. You know, so this idea of davening so early, so we understand people have to go to work, but it shouldn't be that a person should feel that their davening is compelled, because it's from he uses the expression, from the negative you implied the positive and vice versa. We know that if a person gauges themselves in davening the way that the Baal Shem Tov suggested. That the Baal Shem Tov says that davening is the tool for refining the animal soul. Hmm. So if a person is not using the tool of davening to refine the animal soul, so what's happening to their animal soul?
It's the opposite.
Refining. Yes.
It's the opposite.
Refining. It's unrefining.
The opposite.
Yeah. Yes. It's unrefining.
Right.
So it shouldn't be that a person should put himself into such a position
right.
that's they have to daven that way.
Right, right, right. You're putting yourself
in okay. So now, but given that, Mashpia told me, he says, listen, I understand that there's going to be times times in the week, times in your lifetime, when you're not going to be able to afford to daven with the length and concentration that you'd like to do.
Right, okay.
So what should you do? Pick another davening. If you don't have the time, first thing in the morning, to spend the time required to daven shacharis,
then pick one of the others.
You got mincha and ma'ariv. You could daven those.
Ooh, that's good.
So like this, at least you have one davening.
That's a davening.
That's a davening.
Yeah.
And the other ones, you'll rely on it that maybe at least by Shemina Esrei,
yeah.
you should spend a couple of minutes extra.
Yeah.
In Shemina Esrei. It says about the Belzer Rebbe. There's a Belzer Rebbe who was blind. And there's actually stories that some Hasidic sent the Rebbe Marash to go learn how to daven from him because it was said that he could daven Hodu to Aleinu in 3 minutes. Talk about moving. And he said they knew he was a tzaddik because he spent an entire minute in Shemina Esrei. So, yeah. So this is just, that's the way he davened. Okay. So yeah,
the thing is, it was davening.
Yes. By him, it was a davening.
It was a davening.
Right. Know. It wasn't just words saying.
It wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, there's the classic story of the discussion between the Belzer Chosid and a Lubavitcher Chosid as to davening.
Mm.
So the Lubavitcher asked the Belzer, how come you guys daven so fast? So he says, it's like this. It says you're in a wagon, and there's a goy chasing you. So what do you want to do? Is you want to get away from the goy as fast as you can, so you push the wagon as fast as you possibly can. He says, that's the davening, and what's the goy? The goy is the Yetzer Hara, which is chasing him. So Lubavitcher said, that's all very well and good, except for one problem. The goy's in the wagon. Exactly. What you have to do is you have to stop and throw him off.
Yeah.
So that's what the davening's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... Like I said, I'm not going to judge anybody who has to daven like a balabas is explained, or worse. The only people who daven worse than balabatim are shluchim. Because a shliach now has it in his mind, I have something more important to do than daven. I'm just going to daven as fast as I possibly can, because I have this thing which is more important than davening. I have to go help somebody else. I have to go do something for somebody else. And what's my davening when someone else needs, you know, I got to put on tefillin, you know, so, but, you know, I put on tefillin, I'll do it, but there's 20 people out there I could be putting tefillin on. So the people that daven worse than a balabas that has to go to work is a shliach who has to go out on shlichus, who has to go do his stuff.
Wow.
So there's davening like a balabas, and there's davening like a shliach, which is worse. So he suggests, but only those that have the free time. I am a lamdim, or the that means that what? That they're in charge of their own business affairs, such that they just
can prolong.
They can prolong their davening themselves.
Right.
There was a fundraiser for the Lubavitcher Yeshiva in New York. His name was Avram Mayor. His name was Avram Drizin. They called him Avram Mayor because it was from the city of Mayor. Mm. When he got out, he was one of those that was like stuck in Russia types.
Yeah.
And when he got out in Russia, I think he got out in the early 60s, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember exactly if he was, I don't think he was part of the transport. I think he got out after the transport. He got stuck. When he came out, he wrote to the Rebbe. He had been offered a position as the Mashpia in Kfar Chabad.
Right.
Okay, that's a very prominent position.
For sure.
Okay? The Rabbi told him that he shouldn't take it.
Yeah.
He should come to America.
Yeah.
He went to Israel.
Oh.
Okay? He was there for a while, and for some reason he wasn't successful, and he realized that it was because he didn't listen to the Rabbi. So he moved his whole family to America, and then he told the Rebbe that as a penance for not listening, he's going to Praven Golis. Praven Golis means he's going to travel around, you sleep in different places every night. So what was his Praven Golis? Is he raised funds for the Lubavitcher Yeshiva. And he would travel around from city to city to city to city to city to city to city, raising funds for the Lubavitcher Yeshiva.
Hmm.
What was his Seder? And he's still a Mashpia. You know, he was... he still was what he was. So he would dive until 2 o'clock. He's a fundraiser. Okay? He would dive until 2 o'clock. And then he would get somebody, since he didn't drive, he would get somebody to drive him around till about 6 or 7. And then by 8 o'clock, he'd come back, and he would daven mincha someplace over there, he'd daven ma'ariv, and he would sit and learn, and he would farbrang until 12, 1 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, he would wake up and start the whole thing over again. Okay? And he was a very successful fundraiser. Now, you would think, you've got to raise funds. What do you do to got to raise funds? You run around for 12 hours raising funds. So he proved you didn't have to run around. He says you could daven. He conducted himself like a chassid. The fundraising anyway was incidental. It was only just a purpose for him being, because he really wasn't a fundraiser. He was really just trying to do tshuva for not listening to the Rebbe. And in the meantime, he was very successful at raising funds because he let Hashem take care of it.
How long did he have to do this?
He did it until his 80s. Wow. For at least, I want to say 20 years at least.
Wow.
That he was. I remember him in his 80s traveling around the country to Seattle.
Wow.
Well, his family, this is after his kids were grown?
Yeah, his kids were grown already. Yeah, I first met him in Seattle when his youngest son was already the shliach had been the shliach in Berkeley and was now the shliach in Albuquerque. Now he's a psychologist in Florida.
Wow.
But he had already been a long time. He had been a shliach in Berkeley already when I met the father.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
That was the youngest son.
Hmm.
So those that have penai, you have free time. Now, how do you make free time? Well, you know, if you don't have to punch a clock, if you're in charge of your punch card,
right?
You know, you determine how much you need to work. You know, it's a good thing. There used to be a pizza shop over here on 9 Mile in Coolidge. It was called Cafe Catan, the little cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was a pizza joint, but the pizza was great.
Yeah.
And it was run by a gentleman by the name of Leo Mertz. Mm-hmm. Leo Mertz, people know, was a baker. He had various and sundry bakeries. And this is like the last endeavor that he did. He had this pizza shop. So I walked in there once at 6:30. He closed. His hours were 11 to 7.
Mm.
So I walked in at 6:30, and he had his coat on. And I ordered a pizza, and he was sitting there with his coat on. And, you know, and I paid for it, and I said, what you doing? He said, I'm going home. And I said, you close at 7. He says, I made enough money today. So I'm closing early. So that's it. I said, what about somebody who wants to come by at 6:45, wants a pizza? I said, he'll come back tomorrow. I'm the only pizza place in town. So, okay. Which is, I made enough money today.
Yeah.
I'm going home. You know? So that takes a tremendous presence of mind that a person should say such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this, because we're fighting the Yetzer Hara, you know. He who has 100 wants 200. And so that's what it says. Panai means free time. Free time is a state of mind, a feeling of I don't have to rush to go to work. Flex time is absolutely the best thing. You know, if a person could work from 10 until 7 instead of 9 to 5, that type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the standard Chabad, the standard Lubavitch store in Crown Heights is open from 11 till 7.
Mm.
Because the guy's davening, you know, he's there, he's davening, he comes in. By the time he gets davening, he's like running. You see these guys running out of 770 at 10:45. I got to go open the store. You know, because, and people expect it. You know, normally you think a store would be open 9 o'clock. Nah, this is Crown Heights, we open 11. You know, so. And if nobody's open, then they're not going to go shopping till 11 o'clock. Why right. bother going down to the street if we know the store's not going to open till 11?
Right.
Yeah, so those who have free time, or he says, hamalamdim. Those are the school teachers, because the school teacher should be, one of the things that they should be doing as school teachers is endeavoring to take the time to teach the kids how to daven. And so that's what the 9:30 is. It's a minion of Malamdin. Smuchin al shulchan avihem. Those who are sitting, I've kest as they're called. Those who are sitting and being supported by their fathers or fathers-in-law.
good times.
See, they have, they don't have anything to worry about. They're not running out for Parnassa. So those people, those are the people who should be making a minyan and davening. Mm. He recommends that davening should take an hour and a half during the weekday.
Mm.
That's one qualifier. That's from Harani Mekabel. That's not from Hodu.
Mm-hmm.
So you could add, you know, you can understand how an hour and a half from Hodu to a late, yeah, that's kind of most, no. That's long. Mm. But if you figure in Karbanos, you could take another 20 minutes if you say it's, you know,
sure,
at a decent slow rate. Not a slow, slow. Yeah, right. 20 minutes. Okay, and then to put on the tefillin, and then
right.
You know, an hour from Hodu to Elena. Okay?
Look, I don't care how fast I try to go. There's no way I can start at Karbanos, from Morning Brachos, and finish Rabbeinu Tam. There's no way you can do it in less than an hour. It's impossible.
Sure.
Not if you say any of the words. All the words. I said any of the words.
There are people who could do it. You know, yeah. So you just got to learn how to hold, like, you know, say a lot of words in one breath.
Yeah.
Or there's the people who can say words as they're inhaling.
Yeah.
No. It saves time. That way you sit. Inhaling.
No. It's not about saving time. No.
Okay. Mehemi Yahayori Lifnei Hateva Al Pi Hagurl Al Pi Ritzi Harayv. And those are the people who should be leading the davening. Now, how are you going to pick the person to lead davening?
Mm.
So the best way is, he says Alpi Garl first, but really the best way is you do it according to those people. Everybody wants somebody to daven. You say, who wants to daven? Okay, I'll daven. Or, as the case may be, as it happens, in most communities, it is considered an honor to lead the davening. And people really feel like, would you please daven from the Amid? Ooh, he asked me to daven from the Amid. Of course, they run to daven to the Amid. In Lubavitch, it's like, no, I'm really not interested in davening from the Amid. I don't want to daven from the Amid. I am not interested in leading the davening. Why? Because I got my own davening to daven. I got a daven for you. So like this, if nobody wants to daven, so then you have to make a lottery. Sorry, it's your turn. You have to daven. What can we do? You know, nobody wants it. You have to do it now.
How about ovels and all the...
Baruch Hashem, if you have a minion that doesn't have an ovel...
Yeah.
Then this is what we're talking about. Obviously, ovel, yeah, those are people who want to daven and have to daven. So, you know, it happens already three times, maybe four times since I'm here, that at Mishkan, the person who... was an Avil, who was a Chiyuv to daven, was not from the fast daveners.
Mm-hmm.
These were people who davened slow. They just couldn't move their mouths fast.
Good.
And nobody said anything. You know, what do the fast daveners do? Is they would
they come
for the first Kaddish,
right?
Go to mikveh,
right?
Come back before Baruch Hu, put on the talis and tefillin, and cash up for Shmoneh Esrei. And by the last Kaddish, you're already with 1 foot out the door,
right? Yeah,
you know. Wow. So, but the people who daven slow, they daven slow. Nobody minded. Nobody said anything.
Yeah.
You know, so
they probably
it's such a crime just daven a little slower.
Yeah. No, so some people can't. What can I do? You know, a person who's taught to daven at 5 years old, by the time they're 80 and davening the same way the whole time,
yeah.
It becomes nature. But Yosef Olav Saviv Loi Kol Hasmuch Al Shulchan Avihem Amalamdim Shiyach Laharik Bavakamayu Bechol Yishun Bebal Yishun Inavina. And this person who now has the free time, it's very good if the guy leading has time to daven. And if he's the only one there that has the time to daven, it's not going to help. You need at least six other people.
You need
a whole minion around you of people who are school teachers or sitting being supported by their fathers.
Right, something. Yeah.
And then they can take the time as much as them. And the other people who have to go run, no, so they'll go run.
I missed a class this morning. We went from 10 to 8 at the last.
Never.
I didn't like that.
Never. What time do you have to be at work at Crown Point?
It's because I have a new job. I can dive.
Yeah, okay.
But I was like, you know.
Indeed. Ah, b'shabbos is v'yamim tovim. Now, here he says over here. Now, this is where he gives it to the business people. Mm. Okay. I've been in shul that what do the business people do during davening? They talk business.
Yeah. It's said.
Davening, I mean, Shabbos davening just becomes, and they say, I didn't have time to talk to you during the week.
Yeah, I know.
So let me talk to you about what I have, because we're both running to go to work.
Right.
So let me go talk to you about whatever it is I have to talk to you about. And then the shul becomes like a marketplace during davening.
Chicken market does. Yeah, by Shiner says.
Yeah, it sounds. It's a market. It's like, you know, it's walking through a mall.
Yeah, it's
okay. So he says the Baal Iskim, those people who are business people, Yeshlem plot panai v'shai hakosher laharik v'tfilasam bekavonis libam v'nashem l'Hashem. This is an opportunity. That what should they do? They should not be engaged in the shul marketplace, but they now have the freedom of time to spend davening.
Right.
Okay, so my wife, I still on occasion does it. She'll ask me, "So what's news in shul?"
Mm-hmm.
I get that, and I'll tell her,
"Don't talk in shul."
I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody. She says, "And are you antisocial?" And I said, "Well, I guess
during
davening." I mean,
yeah, thank you very much.
I suppose so. He says, "I don't want to find out what those guys are talking about."
He goes like this: "I don't talk during davening. Well, what about the kiddush? You told me not to stay in and stick around. Get home." I said, "Hello."
By the time I get done davening,
what did you say? How about nothing? I don't talk during davening.
Yeah, by the time I get done davening, the kiddush is over already. You know, so.
Yeah. I talk to the same people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so the only time I have to talk to anybody would be to walking home from shul. I mean, you know, but
right.
So what could I do? I mean, you know, so there's not one shul in the world that doesn't have a sign somewhere in the place that say it's forbidden to talk during the times of davening and Kriyas HaTorah.
And that's the most ignored sign.
And that, in most instances, it's merely considered a suggestion.
Yeah.
Tell you, God help you if you talk during Kaddish. You'll
Baruch Hashem.
Right, God. Help us understand that this is halakha.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
It's like he says in chapter 24 that you're pushing away the entire image of the divine presence is being pushed away. But anyway, we're now in chapter 1, we're now in chapter 24.
Good.
It says about them that they specifically should be the ones leading the davening on Shabbos, because they should feel that filling in of a gap, of a lack,
a void.
That they had this void a whole week, that nebuch, they had to go run to daven.
Yeah, yeah.
And like this, that it's Shabbos, they're not running any place, the chalent brantzach nisht, in fact, it'll taste better if it cooks for another hour.
Yeah.
The kids really aren't that hungry.
Nah,
and a Shabbos nap, if he takes a little shorter Shabbos nap, okay, no, it's not going to kill him.
Right.
So spend a little bit more time. He should feel his desire. As it is written in right at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, it says 6 days you do your work, that's your work, and the seventh day is Shabbos for Hashem Elokecha. Meaning that the whole entire Shabbos is for Hashem.
Right.
And what does Hashem want us to do? There's a whole entire chapter in Shulchan Aruch that talks about what you're not allowed to talk about on Shabbos. Simen Shinvav. I don't think it's been translated yet into English. They're in the process of translating Alter Rebbe. It's in Kitzer. That talks about Hilchus Davar Dover. Speaking about what you're speaking about. And there, it talks in great length of things that you're not allowed to say on Shabbos, which includes things like reading secular newspapers or contracts or this type of stuff. You know, that it's not a time for reading magazines.
Right.
Okay, I remember that if a regular, the Rebbe was commenting that people shouldn't spend waste time in the bathroom reading magazines on Shabbos.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, because it's when it, and he types the Shina b'Shabbos Taina. It wasn't him, but some other Polish Rebbe said that Shina also translates as Shina b'Shabbos Taina, means sleeping on Shabbos is a pleasure. It says that you get because you get to sleep in the morning. You don't have to wake up way before dawn. You can wake up a little later. Right. That's your sleeping in, is you're sleeping on Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
Shina b'Shabbos Taina means learning.
Right.
The word Shina, like the word Mishnah, means to learn.
Uh-huh.
So learning on Shabbos is the tainig.
Right.
Okay, and if it happens that you fell asleep with a book, okay, no, you fell asleep with a book. Okay, uh-huh. But there was one Polish Rebbe, a Polish or Hungarian Rebbe, that he didn't write any Svarim. And he asked him why he doesn't write any Svarim. So he says he doesn't want to sleep with his Chassidim. He says, what are you talking about? He says, what's going to happen? It says, after the Cholent, he's going to look for a good sefer to lie down. He's going to take a sefer, and he's going to find, oh, the sefer from my Rebbe. And he's going to take the book, and he'll lie down, and in no time he'll be chrapping a rhino, he'll be snoring away, and the book will be on his chest or who knows where, and he says, I don't want to sleep with my Chassidim.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't write any of the Chassidim down.
Wow.
So, but if it happens, if you have a book and you happen to fall asleep on it, so, okay. So I'm accustomed that on Shabbos, people say, but I'm accustomed that on Shabbos afternoon, so I'll learn a Gemara, I'll learn from the big Shulchan Aruch, and it may be subconscious or whatever, but when my head hits the table, so it's on this very big book that my head hits the table on, so it's very comfortable.
So... Fair enough.
But I'm not planning on my head hitting the table. Anyway. Olezeis gam hemi yari lifnei hateva b'shabbos v'yamtav al pi agoril oritzei harov kemo shekosev v'shtakeh. And those people should also, they should have been given the opportunity to lead the davening. Here he's explaining it like it's some big covet over here.
Mm.
Like for me, if I had to work all week and didn't have time to daven, the last thing I would want to do is daven from the Amid.
Yeah, really.
But they should also be allowed to daven from the Amid. In other words, he wants to say, if a guy's in a hurry, he should not be allowed to daven from the Amid, is the point that he wants to make in these two paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
Because such a thing is not proper, it is not covered right. To the shore.
Right.
And there should be a chosen. Here he says, interesting, at this point, he says, it's the same thing, by Goro or by Ritzi Harov? Yeah, by Lot? Because listen, mm-hmm. if he's a daven, nobody wants to do it, so you make up a roster. And then, okay, it's your turn. You got, listen, I don't want to do it either, but it's your turn. Okay, or if most people say, listen, we like the way this guy davens, this guy likes to do it already. As was written in a letter that she had written last year, which I believe that letter that he wrote last year appears, because we pointed out at the beginning of when we first started learning that the letters are not put in order of chronology.
Right.
So the letter that he wrote last year, I think is letter number 22. I don't remember. I remember
when
I was preparing it.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay.
So the letters are not in chronological order. They're in some order that the Mittler Rebbe thought was proper to put them in. So here you have this letter. It's like to get you off on a good start. Yeah. This is a warm, fuzzy letter.
Uh-huh.
Okay, before the hatchet dropping letters hit you.
Wow.
So he says, I'm making it known right now. I'm going to send spies.
Mm.
Now, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to send spies. And no one's going to know who they are. To know and to make known. Anybody that's possible for him. And this guy has the time to spend davening.
Mm.
And I get a report that he's not davening properly.
Mm.
He should know, when he comes here, and he thinks he's going to get such special treatment because he's traveled so far away, and now he wants to hear some Eimer that he hasn't heard, he says, I'm not going to give him the time of day. I'm going to distance myself from him. And from the negative, you infer the positive. That if someone is going to spend time, and I get a report back that this person does daven properly, so I will give that person kiruv. Interesting that the Alter Rebbe, who had thousands of Hasidim, could make such a claim that he was going to be spending attention to people. But listen, these are Rebbes. Ulashmainim yayneim v'tava aleihem bracha v'tev tev bar birchas tev ein tev alateir. And those people who do listen, things will be well for them, and a goodness will come unto them, a goodness will come to them. And what's good? This is ein tev alateir, which you mentioned before. If it's good, it must be from the Torah. It must be the Torah. Okay, as we mentioned at the onset. And this is where we will stop. To be continued, chapter 2. Very exciting stuff next week. Stay tuned.